May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm not going to do what I was going to do after hearing Bracken read that. That's always been a stunner to me, that what these people said in verse 62 of Matthew 27. Now on the next day, which is the one after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. Isn't it amazing? Remember the disciples didn't get that? They didn't. Jesus kept, you don't understand, they got mad, rebuked him because he said he was going to die. And yet these were lost people and they understood it. The demons got it better than the disciples do. That's really important that we don't make sure the demons don't understand the gospel better than we do and rob us. They don't walk in the truth, but I think sometimes that they know the truth. That's why they're so passionate about keeping us from seeing the truth and walking in it. Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples come and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first. Yeah, you bet. Over and over again, the book of Acts, because this is what I've been planning on doing, but I can't find the particulars. I can read this one again. This is Ephesians 1. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened, so that you know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Well, we will read places as long as Solomon. This is about the resurrection. One of the great places. This is Song of Solomon 3, verse 6. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness? That's not chapter 8. This is chapter 3, speaking of Jesus. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness? Like columns of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. In the Song of Solomon, that's death and resurrection. With all the scented powders of the merchant, behold, is the traveling couch of Solomon. 60 mighty men around it, of the mighty men of Israel. All of them are wielders of the sword, experts in war. Each has his sword at his side, guarding against the terrors of the night. He goes on and on. It's an amazing description of sort of like a triumphant procession, the wilderness of this world and death. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness? Then there's just this picture of the resurrected Christ, columns of smoke, the smell of resurrection on him, and the picture of that an expert of wet war, wielding a sword against the terrors at night, and the night, that's just an amazing picture. Here's the point. I don't have time to go through all the details. Over and over again, the book of Acts would talk about they would go and bear witness of the resurrection. That's what they did. That's what their calling was, to bear witness of the resurrection. When they would pray for the sick and they got healed, they bore witness of the resurrection. When they laid their life down in servant love, they bore witness of the resurrection. As they moved in signs and wonders, they bore witness of the resurrection. The fact that their lifestyle was one that was supernatural, it was a testimony that he really did rise from the dead. And somehow that's made them like this. And so what these guys were saying was right. As bad as the deception is now, if these people believe he rose from the dead, we're in a lot worse shape than we've ever been in so far. You think they're crazy now. Well, see, what they didn't understand, it wouldn't just be the testimony that Christ rose from the dead that would make them all crazy. It was the fact that the risen Christ would be actually living inside of them, that he would have another body, and it just continues. But now worse, because Jesus said that we would do even greater things. Well, one of them is a lot more of us. This is the whole theme of this scripture in Romans chapter 8. This old Bible, the pages are getting hard to turn. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many twins, or triplets, or whatever the number goes when you go into the billions, that there'd be a bunch of people that would be like him. Not because they're trying to imitate him, but because risen from the dead, he's now living inside of them, and now he has another body. And that body's now multiplied into the millions, and oh my goodness. If you think of this fallen world as the night, he talks about that. The sad thing is that so many of us as Christians still live terrified of the terrors of the night. When the truth is, and I don't mean that in a literal sense, I'm talking about spiritually, in the world, what the world can do to us. The powers of darkness should live in terror concerning us, because we bring the risen Christ and the same power that caused Christ to be raised from the dead living inside of us and pulsating through our spiritual veins. It really shouldn't take. it really shouldn't be that hard to transform this city. The transformation of the city isn't about having another committee. And in the end, I'm grateful they need, like, hire all the policemen you can hire and do all the things you need to do. But in the end, the transformation of the city is going to be when Christians rise up and start begin to bear witness of the resurrection. When the teenager who wants to shoot the gun or wants to rob or wants to mug somebody and it's a Christian, and that Christian starts speaking something supernaturally into their life, starts revealing them the secrets of their heart, manifesting the love of God, when they get in your shadow, like did Peter, and they get healed, that person will probably change the way they live because they've encountered the real thing they've been looking for, because Jesus is the desire of the nations. Why do people do the things that they do? Why do they rob? Why do they rape? Why do they kill? Because they desire Jesus. They're looking for something. They don't know his name. And out of their emptiness and anger and frustration because they can't ever find it, they strike out at others. Remember when you were a kid, if you had brothers and sisters and one of them would get something, you didn't get it and made you mad and you want to take it from them? That's the same thing. Just exacerbate that 1,000 times. And so everybody else's life, you got something I don't have and I'm angry about being empty, so I'm going to take it from you. Because they desire Jesus. They don't know it. But what if they had started encountering Jesus on the streets? That Christians were actually bearing witness of the resurrection. And their souls were being healed, or their bodies were being healed, or their brokenness from abandonment or whatever. God's doing something in a moment. Jesus healed the woman at the well, not physically, but in her inner person in a moment. Spoke to her and said, no, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had 5 of them. And now you're living with a guy who's not your husband. And she became a true worshiper and brought that whole area into revival. A whole city was converted in one day because one woman experienced inner healing in the presence of Jesus. Father, Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. You think it's any wonder that the enemy's trying so hard to keep us from discovering the truth of who we are in Christ and manifesting it? I mean, if you live in New York City, maybe you have to stretch out beyond the horizon a little bit, faith to believe for the whole city. But I believe a city like Selma could be converted over a weekend, transformed. But it's about Christians rising up and stewarding the supernatural life of Christ, bringing heaven to earth, because they're experiencing heaven in their own heart, and releasing what they have. They're freely given what they've been freely got. That's why I love living in a small town like this, because it's easier to measure. But it can happen. It happened in Sychar. How many people lived in Sychar? I don't know, maybe 3,000-4,000 people? I don't know. But so if that happened in one day in Sychar, what's how many in Selma? 20,000? 25,000? So 6 days, maybe? We have a biblical model. The point is, they're not the problem. We're the solution. And if the solution won't apply the solution, we're the problem. Because if we ever figured out, the enemy knows, if we ever figured out that Jesus is actually risen from the dead and living inside of us, it would be a lot worse. As nutty as the church is now, it would be uncontainable. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.